All right, good afternoon, everyone. We should probably get started because I've only got, I think, 25 minutes for this session, and then my colleague is going to come up here and do a 25-minute session on another .NET Nuke topic. So I'm Sean Walker. I'm the co-founder and CTO of .NET Nuke Corporation, and today I'm going to be talking about .NET Nuke and Windows Azure. So just by show of hands, I'm curious how many people here are using .NET Nuke currently. All right, and how many of you feel you're pretty knowledgeable about Windows Azure already? A few? Okay. So I'm going to cover some high-level stuff and some more low-level stuff as well. So hopefully it'll be interesting for everyone that's here today. So the cloud. What is the cloud? So this is a pretty loaded question because in the last 3 to 4 years there's been all this buzz about the cloud, and it has, you know, many different definitions depending on who you're speaking with. So one definition of the cloud would be software as a service. So many of you are familiar with some of these more like popular applications like Salesforce, like Google Apps, and Microsoft Office 365. These are all hosted applications. And so when you look at the cloud, you look at the different levels of abstraction that you have. And so software as a service would be an abstraction being how far away you are from the physical hardware. So software as a service would be the furthest away in terms of an abstraction layer from the actual hardware itself. So the next level down in terms of that abstraction layer would be platform as a service. So platform as a service would be something that's, I guess, more applicable to developers. Typically, a vendor provides an API which allows you to interact with resources that are, you know, physical infrastructure resources, and you can utilize those in the cloud. Some popular services today are Amazon Web Services, Google App Engine, and obviously Windows Azure, who we're going to talk about today, and others are Heroku and OpenStack. And the last layer, so in terms of the abstraction layer, where you're closest to the actual physical hardware would be infrastructure as a service. So infrastructure as a service is where you get a virtual machine, basically a full virtual machine up in the cloud that you can utilize in whatever way you you see fit. So what we just covered was the different layers here. So software as a service, platform as a service, and infrastructure as a service. These are catering to basically different types of users. So software as a service is typically most interesting to business users, whereas platform as a service, more interesting to developers, and infrastructure as a service is primarily interesting to IT organizations who are looking to, you know, offload some of their on-premise infrastructure. So some of the reasons why the cloud is interesting and why most businesses are looking seriously at the cloud in terms of how they can utilize it, both for cost savings as well as for time to market kind of benefits. So cloud on demand. So you can spin up virtual infrastructure very quickly and very easily. It allows you to adapt more easily to innovation. So in the infrastructure space, it's constantly changing and new technologies are being introduced. And if you're utilizing a cloud service provider, you sort of put the onus on them to be adapting to the new innovations rather than you having to build the expertise in-house yourself. Typically, there is a cost reduction rather than having to outlay actual money on a capital expense to acquire hardware. You can utilize the hardware that's in the cloud. That ties into rent versus own. So rather than purchasing a lot of hardware and then setting it up in an infrastructure on-premise, you can basically rent the hardware and rent the service. In terms of space and time savings, you can get to market quicker, and you typically don't have to allocate, you know, space for a data center within your business itself. You can offload that to the cloud provider itself. In terms of reliability, most cloud providers today offer options for high availability and fault tolerance. So this is, again, something that your IT department would have been traditionally responsible for, and you can push that responsibility to the cloud provider. Some cloud providers also take care of patching and updates for you in terms of the infrastructure. Some of them make that your responsibility. It sort of depends on sort of what level of service you require. As far as integration goes, most of them have a very simple API that you can interact with, which allows you to to integrate the cloud services with a variety of different applications and a variety of different requirements that are specific to your business. As far as security goes, the IT department, was typically responsible for this aspect as well. And cloud providers have really built their services around with security models in place and security best practices in mind. And so rather than, again, having to build that expertise in-house, you can rely on the service provider. And you have 24/7 access to the infrastructure through public APIs and interfaces. So when we talk about Windows Azure, which is, I guess, the main focus of this talk, what is Windows Azure? So Windows Azure is a cloud service that Microsoft introduced a number of years ago. It's gone through a number of different iterations, and it's actually a series of different components. Windows Azure itself is really just about a compute instance, and it is made up of a number of different roles. So initially, Microsoft introduced a web role, which is more designed for native .NET applications, and a worker role, which allows native .NET applications as well as non-native applications like PHP applications to run. And more recently, they introduced a VM role, which is more of an infrastructure as a service type of a scenario where you have a virtual machine at your disposal. Windows Azure was built with scalability in mind, so both scalability vertically and horizontally. So when we talk about scaling vertically, we talk about scaling up. And there's a number of different attributes that you can tweak in Windows Azure to get greater compute performance. So you can tweak the amount of CPU you need, the amount of memory, the amount of disk space, the amount of I/O performance, and obviously there's an associated cost for each of these. The cost obviously increases as you consume more of the service and require more of that infrastructure. And as far as scaling out, you can scale out to virtually unlimited number of instances, so you have great scale-out capability. But you have to keep in mind that the applications that you're running have to be architected in a way to leverage that scale-out capability, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. So SQL Azure. So SQL Azure is a SQL Server 2008, basically infrastructure running in the cloud that provides high availability and fault tolerance. It has an API, and it's great for storing relational data the same way that you would store relational data in SQL Server. It's important to note, though, that it is not a full-blown SQL Server 2008 server. It does have some limitations, and I'll outline some of those as I talk about the .NET Nuke integration. Windows Azure Storage Services is another service that's part of the Windows Azure family. It provides access for tables, for blobs, and for queues. So basically, it allows you to store both structured and unstructured data in a persistent manner. So finally, a real diagram. So we're talking about .NET Nuke and Windows Azure today, so the rest of this presentation is going to be focused on that. In a perfect world, we could use Windows Azure, and we could install .NET Nuke on a Windows Azure instance. We could take advantage of SQL Azure to store a relational database and our data, and we could take advantage of the Windows Azure storage services to store our content files. Seems like it's a plausible sort of model that we could follow. However, it's not exactly that simple. So in our early experiments with Windows Azure, what we ended up finding out was, especially Windows Azure itself, doesn't allow you to write files to the application directories that are part of Windows Azure. .NET Nuke as an application is architected in a way that it provides great extensibility through the installation of modules and skins at runtime. So the fact that we can't install files to the local file system on the Windows Azure machine basically creates some problems for us, which we needed to solve. The idea behind Windows Azure is it's designed with fault tolerance in mind. And so the idea is you have a snapshot which represents your application and your data. So if that instance that you're working with goes down, another instance can be spun up very simply and very quickly, but they take the snapshot and then they place that snapshot on that new instance. So if you've dynamically added files or content or data to the running instance, that information isn't persisted, and so your snapshot will get put in place and you'll lose all the information that was on the old instance. So those are some of the early problems that we ran into with Windows Azure. So, like I said, that doesn't work. So, one problem, .NET Nuke was never architected with this notion of external or off-site storage in mind. We are taking some steps in more recent versions in this direction, but the application as it stands today wasn't architected in that manner. And as I already mentioned, the Windows Azure worker role or web role doesn't allow you to persist files to the local file system. So we have two problems there that we had to overcome. So we had to take some baby steps, figure out how we could make .NET Nuke run on Windows Azure. So the first problem we ran into was that when it comes to SQL Azure, like I said earlier, SQL Azure is not a full-blown SQL Server 2008 server. So .NET Nuke has been around for many years. The application was originally released in late 2002, so we've had support, legacy support, for older versions of SQL Server for quite some time. Which means in our installation scripts, we actually use some syntax which was very specific to SQL Server 2000. That's not a problem when you install it on SQL Server 2005 or 2008 in a full-blown version, but when you're trying to use SQL Azure, some of that syntax doesn't work anymore. And so there is a tool that's available on that's available on CodePlex, which is a SQL Server migration wizard, and which you can run your scripts through. It can tell you some of the problems you may encounter when trying to run those scripts on SQL Azure, and it can, you know, it can prescribe some solutions to those problems. And so we ran our scripts through through the migration wizard. We came up with new scripts that would install in SQL Azure so that we could, you know, effectively run .NET Nuke. And at the end of that process, yay, we are running .NET Nuke on Windows Azure, which is pretty cool. But we still have a problem. And the problem is, I mean, the problem that I already just identified, where it's great that you're running in Windows Azure, but the fact that you couldn't actually take advantage of the specific benefits that .NET Nuke offers, like the installation of modules and skins, makes it fairly unusable at that point. I mean, if you just have a static site and you don't intend on installing any new modules or any new skins, then you could run it in this manner, but I don't know of anyone who actually uses .NET Nuke in that way. So that's a problem that we had to overcome. So the interesting thing is it's a virtual world. So what we need for .NET Nuke is a place that we can persist both our application files as well as our content files in a way that they, you know, won't be erased when a new instance is spun up. And so one of the things that was introduced in January 2010 as part of the Windows Azure Storage Services was this notion of an X drive, which is a virtual hard drive. And this virtual hard drive can be attached to a web or worker role, and it allows you to store files in a resident sort of manner. So the idea here is that you can create a bootstrapper, so a small application which runs in a worker or web role, and that bootstrapper on startup attaches to a virtual hard drive. The virtual hard drive is where the .NET Nuke application resides and also where the content files will reside, and it provides read-write access. So very similar to the way that you could point an IIS website at a folder somewhere that's not necessarily on the same machine, this is the same sort of concept that we're using here. And so actually somebody from our community actually created a .NET Nuke Azure Accelerator project. It's available on CodePlex today under dnnazureaccelerator.codeplex.com. And the approach that this community member followed is exactly what I just described. So we've got a worker role, and then using an X drive, which contains the .NET Nuke application. What they're actually distributing on the CodePlex site is a full-blown version of .NET Nuke, packaged up as a VHD, which is a virtual hard drive, which you can install onto the X drive. And it still utilizes SQL Azure. So the other thing that the community member has done is, again, ran the SQL Azure migration wizard to create a script which actually installs on Azure. And so this allows us to run .NET Nuke on Windows Azure today. So in terms of a demo, I'm going to shift over here to a different machine. So what we have here is a .NET Nuke standard install of Community Edition running on Windows Azure. You can tell it's Windows Azure because the cloudapp.net domain name up here at the top is representative of Windows Azure. And we created a site called DNN Mix Demo, which is actually publicly available. Anyone could browse to this site right now. And you can see that I can log into this application as the standard .NET host user, which logs me in. And actually, it was Joe Brinkman, who's one of my colleagues, who actually created this instance for me last night. But it allows you, I mean, basically the full functionality of .NET Nuke. So, I mean, if I want to browse to the file manager of the application, I can see all of the different files that are stored locally. I could upload a new file if I so desired. And if I uploaded a file in this instance, it would be resident, and it wouldn't have any of the problems that I talked about earlier. If I want to actually edit content, I get the full rich text editor functionality as well. I can basically fully interact with my .NET Nuke website using this using Windows Azure, using this virtual hard drive technique. Just check my time here. So there is most of you are, if you're familiar with .NET Nuke, then you're familiar with how .NET Nuke operates, and what you're more interested in today is the fact that .NET Nuke can run on Windows Azure. So I'm going to switch back to the slides now, and I want to mention just a couple of things. So with this approach, there still is a caveat. And the caveat is that when you're looking at using a cloud service like Windows Azure, you're sometimes using it because you're looking for the scalability aspects of the solution. And the solution that I just described here, although .NET Nuke runs on it, it's really not taking advantage of the full Azure scalability capability that's there. And the reason for this is because when you attach a virtual hard drive to a worker role, basically the worker role obtains a lease to that virtual hard drive. And you can only have one active lease at a time. So which means that that worker role cannot have a lease to multiple virtual hard drives at the same time. This poses some challenges for fault tolerance and failover. One of the concepts that we've talked about with Microsoft, which we have not actually prototyped yet, but seems like a feasible option here, is that the bootstrapper, which runs in the worker role and connects to the virtual hard drive, it would be possible for that bootstrapper to pull multiple instances. So in the event that one of the virtual hard drives actually went down, it could immediately connect to another instance, and you'd get basically a warm failover capability. This wouldn't be immediate failover like you would get with a true cloud solution that's taking advantage of the full Windows Azure capabilities, but you would at least have a warm failover capability. Of course, in that model, you would still have to deal with the replication of the files between the two different virtual hard drives in some manner on your own, because that's not something that's provided by Windows Azure natively and not provided by .NET Nuke natively either. So this notion of sharing virtual hard drives is something that we still need to prototype to work out, but like I said, it could provide some of the warm failover technique that people might be looking for. But again, back to my earlier point, in terms of massive scalability and scaling out horizontally, so scaling out, .NET Nuke stores a lot of files in cache. And in order to scale out, there isn't sort of some magic solution. I think that when some of the early marketing messaging was done for Windows Azure, it made it sound like any application could just scale out magically. But because we're still based on instances, which is essentially much the same as running in a web farm, you need to take care of sort of cache invalidation and all of the standard things that happen in a web farm. So that if you're working on one instance in the farm, you need to replicate, you know, cache changes and data to other instances in the farm. And so this is some of the things that that we're still not, we still can't run as optimally as we necessarily, I guess, could in Windows Azure, but that would require a complete re-architecture of the .NET Nuke application. And so the approach that we've taken with .NET Nuke is that we really don't want to tie ourselves to one particular cloud platform. And the reason we don't want to do that is because our customers don't all want to use the same cloud platform either. They would like the flexibility to be able to run on-premise, to be able to run on a traditional host, to be able to run on Amazon EC2, and to run on Windows Azure. So we basically are taking a cloud-agnostic approach today, and that means that we're not going to be re-architecting our solution so that it works specifically with Windows Azure. But we are going to be providing some of the techniques that you could utilize to run .Anuke on Windows Azure in certain configurations, which is what I described today. So I think I have about 4 minutes, so if anyone has questions, be happy to take them. Yep. So Amazon has much different characteristics than Windows Azure. Amazon is more of an infrastructure as a service model where you get a full virtual machine and you can obviously install whatever you want into that window, because it's basically a Windows OS. So you can install whatever you want onto that Windows OS. We definitely have people that are utilizing Amazon EC2 to run .NET Nuke today, and we didn't have to do any special configuration of our application in order for it to run there, because it's just like running on standard Windows hardware. I wouldn't say it's better or worse. It depends on really what your needs are. So the question is, have we considered moving to MVC, and would that help our compatibility with Windows Azure? And yes, we have considered running or changing our application to utilize MVC. The challenge that we have is that because we have this rich ecosystem of third-party extensions, all of the extensions that people have written over time have all been based on the web forms model. So if we re-architected the core application as an MVC application, it would mean that every third-party application that's been written over the past 6 or 7 years would be incompatible and would have to be rewritten. So because of that, it's not really feasible for us to take that approach. So we are still committed to following the web forms model, at least in the near future. I think that for applications that don't have such a rich ecosystem as we do of third-party extensions, that decision is a little different because you have more control over your entire application and you don't have to worry about third parties plugging into it. And so you could re-architect for MVC and it would work for everyone and you wouldn't necessarily have compatibility issues. But I guess the second part of your question, I don't think that we've done the research to determine if MVC would provide a cleaner path for us to run on Windows Azure. I don't necessarily think that those are tied together. I think they're more mutually exclusive approaches. So the question is, when would it make sense to use Windows Azure versus another solution? And I assume what you mean by another solution would be any of the other sort of hosted offerings that are available, either traditional hosting or Amazon or others. So I think it would depend on what you're looking for. If you're looking for perhaps scalability, I don't think that the configuration that I described today is really as scalable as perhaps a traditional hosting model with a traditional web farm, which we've supported for a number of years already. And the other thing that you would have to take a close look at when you're looking at some of the different cloud offerings is the price point. So how much are you going to pay sort of per month to run the .NET Nuke application on some of the different options that are out there? Certainly, some of the cloud offerings today seem to be more catering towards the enterprise market. And so the price points reflect that. So to run a standard .NET Nuke website, even just one instance on Amazon or Windows Azure, would be more costly than running it on a traditional web host today. So if cost is something that's driving your decision, I think that traditional web hosting is still a more cost-effective approach today. I don't know if that's going to change in the future. I've heard lots of things from like the Windows Azure team about them coming out with more of a shared hosting model that would have a lower price point, but those things don't exist yet today, at least in a production sense. Any other questions? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
In a situation where we might want to put, if we consider putting some of those sites, like maybe some of our higher-end clients on something like that, would it be considered shared because where you have multiple clients on the same setup, since it appears to be space and bandwidth and price?
Right. So the question is, if you are, I guess, hosting many, many clients, and scale is what you're looking at. Is Windows Azure a good solution for that? And you mentioned specifically that you're running thousands of websites on .NET Nuke today. Are those all on their own individual shared instances, or are they using the virtualization technique within .NET Nuke itself, the multiple portals?
Yeah, let me clarify.
Okay. Okay. I don't know if there's a good, clean answer for that one, because there is a virtualization model within .NET Nuke, which we call sort of multi-sites or multi-portals, that you can take advantage of. And then if the actual Azure infrastructure could scale, then theoretically that could work, but then you run into some of the problems where the customer's data is intermingled with one another, all in the same database. So if you want the true isolation between your different customers, then you're going to have multiple instances, and then you sort of run into the cost model of paying for each of those instances might not work so well until there's a sort of a shared hosting model that's available for Windows Azure. So with that, I'd like to mention that there is some t-shirts that are .NET Nuke t-shirts up here if anyone would like them. And if people would like to drop a business card in the jar, there's a couple of laptop bags that we're giving away, which I guess we'll give away at the end of Charles' session. And I should get Charles to come up here and get set up, because he's got only about 5 minutes to do that. So thank you.